It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Well, the weather sure seems like it's about to start turning to where it's going to be warmer and maybe not as windy as it has been recently, and maybe not as wet either with all of the rain, and you can actually get out and play some golf. I know it's been a struggle for a lot of people so far this spring to get out on the course and actually play and even practice. I love to practice chip and putt around the green, but I know it's been difficult to do that. But hopefully things are about to turn in the right direction for us golfers. Speaking of golfers, I had the opportunity to sit down with a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer in Greg Maddux. Greg Maddux pitched for the Chicago Cubs, the Atlanta Braves, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the San Diego Padres. Now, he did 2 stints with the Cubs and the Dodgers. He was an 8-time All-Star, a World Series champion in 1995 with the Atlanta Braves. He won 4 NL Cy Young Awards, 18-time Gold Glove Award winner. 3 times he led the National League in wins in a season. His number 31 in Chicago and Atlanta are both retired, and he's in the Chicago Cubs Hall of Fame along with the Atlanta Braves Hall of Fame. He was inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in 2014. He was a first ballot Hall of Famer, garnering 97.2% of the vote. He won 355 games in his MLB career to only 227 losses. He's from San Angelo, Texas, and I think you're going to enjoy my interview with Greg Maddux. That's coming up in a matter of minutes. But first, I need to tell you about our good friends at Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels, the Allen Brothers. Blair Allen and Matthew Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. If you need an overnight place to stay, go to their website, bphotels.com. Find the location that suits your needs on their website and go stay there. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, one of our great sponsors of From the Short Grass, again, online at bphotels.com. We're back after the break with Major League Baseball Hall of Famer Greg Maddux on From the Short Grass.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. When you call Blackman Auctions to sell your assets, you begin a multi-point plan to get the highest value possible. Each auction takes 30 to 45 days of planning and strategic marketing for your real estate, your equipment, and your assets. You've worked hard for your property, and it deserves more than a sign in the yard or a post on the internet. Sometimes marketing is more than just a commercial with a great-sounding spokesman. Call me. Let me come up with a plan to tell your story and turn your assets into money. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
When your travels take you to Bentonville for a meeting with Walmart, a trip to Crystal Bridges, or the Walmart Amp for a concert, make sure you book your stay at one of the top Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group properties. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages the DoubleTree Suites, an all-suite hotel with tons of meeting space, and the Hilton Garden Inn, which has been newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. The best place to stay in Northwest Arkansas is a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group property. Visit them on the web at bphotels.com.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass. He finished his major league career with 3,371 strikeouts, and now he loves to play the game of golf, and he played it while he was playing baseball as well. On the tee, World Series champion, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, Greg Maddux.
Greg, thanks for joining me on From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club?
Yeah, it was in the backyard. We were hitting old balls in the desert. I think my dad had like an old 7 or 8 iron in the garage or whatever. And, you know, I was probably 10. And I think the first time I played, I was probably 14 or 15. Oh, at Nellis Air Force Base.
Really?
Yeah, my dad was stationed at Nellis, and I was more impressed watching the planes land and take off than I was actually playing golf then, but it was a lot of fun.
When did you really start enjoying the game, if you will? Because you played other sports too. I mean, baseball, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, I didn't really start playing golf till I was in the minor leagues, and I would play on Thursdays and Fridays with my dad, my brother, and we had a random single join us, and we played either Nellis Air Force Base or a place called Desert Rose. It was like, you know, $8 to play, and, you know, it was, we took a pole cart because that was $2, and the cart was, I think, like $6 or something like that. So, yeah, we started playing that way, and we played Thursdays and Fridays, and then it led to, started making money, and then it led to, you know, 3-4 days a week in the off season, and eventually a membership at Spanish Trails. I got my first membership in Las Vegas at Spanish Trails. I remember one of the members took me golfing there when I was in AA, and I told my wife, I go, if we ever make enough money, we can buy a house there, and I want to join that golf course. And years later, we did that. And we lived there for about 20 years, too, as well.
If I ever make enough money.
Yeah.
I mean, back then you didn't know.
No, we didn't make nothing. Yeah, we're making, I don't know, I think I was making $600 a month in A-ball, something like that. So, yeah, golf was expensive, even back then. They say it's expensive now, which, yes, can be, but even back then.
Back then when you were starting to learn the game and grow up, who were the players that you would watch?
The guys out here today. You know, I think when Corey Pavin won at the place
Shinnecock.
In New York on Long Island. Yeah, Shinnecock. That was one of the early tournaments that I remember. Probably turned into a golf junkie in the early 90s. You know, I think we played a lot of Sega golf, so all the golfers were on there in the minor leagues in the late 80s. And then, you know, and then when Tiger came, you know, it was kind of full-blown. You know, then you watched, you know, pretty much. It was always when I went to Atlanta as well. Golf was big on that team. My first 6 years with the Cubs, we weren't allowed to play golf. So you didn't play golf all year. I mean, you only played in the off season. And then Atlanta, we did play golf during the season, and we played on the road. And, you know, it's like you always played at least once in every city you went to, it seemed like. If Smoltz played all 3 days, and we got one, maybe two, depending on the rotation, how it was set up. But, you know, really didn't start getting into golf. I just started learning golf really during COVID. Mm-hmm. I never had any lessons or anything, and just started taking lessons when COVID hit. And, yeah, I mean, love it.
So the Cubs would not allow you to play? Was that a manager decision?
You know, the way it was there, if the hitters can't play, the pitchers can't play. Atlanta, the hitters could play. Or the pitchers could play as long as they weren't pitching that day. And the hitters had to get permission. They were allowed to play on certain occasions.
Really?
But most of them didn't want to play, though, you know. There was a couple guys that were in the everyday lineup that did play golf, and they would play with us on off days all the time. And, you know, on occasion, if we were playing a special course or something, Bobby was cool enough to say, yeah, go ahead and play, and, you know.
Special course meaning Pebble or
yeah,
Augusta.
Something like that. Yeah, well, not really Augusta, wasn't in the league, but
true.
You know, like one of the nice ones in Philly, if it was Marion or Pine Valley or something like that, or one of the good ones in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you think back to that time, did golf kind of help you get away from baseball?
Yeah, 100%. That's what it was there for. It was there to get away from the game. It was there to, you know, not spend all day sitting in the room, or it got you in at night, too. You weren't up late drinking. You know, you knew you had an early tee time in the morning. So, but, yeah, it was our way to get away from the game. You know, we played for, 8 months a year, and it could be a grind. And, you know, you need a hobby. And, you know, a lot of the pitchers golfed. A lot of the hitters fished. There was a lot of fishing, too. Guys would do that. You know, something to get away from the game and come to the park fresh.
John Smoltz told me when I spoke to him about the fact that when you guys would play, that it was, let's go out, we're going to have a good time, but we're not going to let what happens in our golf game affect what happens with the baseball team within it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, it's no different than guys going fishing. Or guys, you know, going to the bar and having beers together. You know, it's no different than that. It was something to do to get away from the game and, you know, interact with your teammates, chemistry, all that stuff. And we had fun. We all liked the game, and we didn't mind getting up early and, you know, playing golf.
He told me the story, too, about the time when I guess y'all were out in San Diego and he had forgotten to make the tee time for the group, like he always did, and the producer of the television broadcast overheard him on the phone making a tee time because he had to go to the payphone back in the day because he didn't have cell phones.
Nope.
And he kind of, you know, was upset about that, and he goes out there and throws a shutout.
Yeah, I wish I could remember that one. I remember him throwing a lot of shutouts, though. Smoltz was a really good golf coordinator, by the way. I mean, you know, he was – obviously he was a good pitcher and, you know, Hall of Fame, all that stuff, but he was probably a better golf coordinator. I mean, he was usually 10 days, 2 weeks in advance. If we were playing in Philly, he was on the phone with somebody in Houston, and we were going there for our next road trip. And but yeah, he had it all taken care of before we left Atlanta.
Did you ever take some of his meal money?
We took a lot of it. We took a lot of it, but he was always trying to best ball us. You know, it was always 2-on-1, 3-on-1. It was me and Glab against Smoltzy, me and Avery against Smoltzy, me and Merker against Smoltzy. And, you know, it got to the point where one day I asked him, I go, Johnny, like, why do you make these bets? I mean, these bets aren't good for you. And he goes, well, I want to put as much pressure on my golf game as I can. And I went back in the card game on the plane anyway. So it didn't matter. So I'm like, oh, okay.
And did that happen?
Sometimes. But if you look now how much better he is than everybody else that he played with, I mean, that was his goal, was to see how good he could get at golf. And, you know, we were just getting out of the hotel and, you know, we never took lessons or, you know, any of that stuff. And, you know, he was serious about it back in his 20s.
Greg, do you ever think back, what if I would have taken lessons back maybe in the off season?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I think back, and why didn't I take them when I retired? Why did I wait till, you know, 10 years after I retired to take them? But, you know, it makes it more fun. When you play better, it's more fun. And, you know, it's also more fun, you know, to know why you hit bad shots, or why you hit a good shot sometimes too. So, but I'm still getting there. You know, I mean, I love playing. I didn't play that well. I played well today, but I didn't score well. So I guess I didn't play well. I mean, you know, the number is what you did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I felt good. I had fun. I enjoyed playing. Billy Mayfair was awesome. Duffy was awesome. Carlos Franco was awesome. The caddies were great.
They give you any pointers?
No, they were locked in. They were doing their thing.
Yeah.
But in the pro-am, I played with Jeff Sluman. He was nice enough to give me a chipping lesson after the round. And, you know, I hit 3 out of 4 good chips today. You know, I missed the
75%.
Putt. I missed the putt, you know, but, I did. I hit, you know, I had 3 chip shots today, used the technique he showed me. And, you know, as amateurs do, I knocked it 3 feet and missed the putt. So it's like, well, that was a wasted chip.
I know. Wouldn't it be nice if it was like, okay, it's inside the leather. I can pick it up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. At home, yeah, I'd have picked it up at home. They wouldn't have made me putt it, but I missed it. I mean, but, yeah, it's fun.
Living in Las Vegas, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where do you like to play out there?
I like to play everywhere, really. I'm a member at TPC. And was it Southern Highlands, Spanish Trails? Shadow Creek is one of the best places in the world you could play. That place is absolutely phenomenal, and get a chance to go out there a couple times a year. And I like to play anywhere, though. I'm not too picky. I'm not, you know, I'll play anywhere. I even like the Munis.
When you play, is there a target score that you would like to shoot besides par? Is there some average that you're trying to get to?
Well, you know, it's weird. Ever since I've taken lessons, it's like all it seems like all I do is like practice on the course. You know, I don't really play a whole lot. And but obviously, you know, if I could shoot 75 or better, you know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I mean, I'm like a 4 handicap, 5 handicap. I've been floating around in there, and you know, I asked my golf coach, hey, you know, my swing's so much better now, but when do I start shooting better scores? And he said, oh, about 2 years. So it's been close to 2 years, so maybe.
This summer.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe it'll start getting better.
Do you like playing in tournaments like this, the celebrity tournaments and fans out there lining the course?
Yeah, love it. Love it. It's fun. It's a lot more fun than playing with your group at home, that's for sure. You know, they're all a bunch of good guys, but at the same time, it's this is like fantasy golf. You know, it's fun, like watching Billy Mayfair today think his way around the course, and actually to be within, you know, 5 yards of him and watch him and what he does and how he prepares for each shot and everything. That's what's cool, you know. To you know, like, it'd be cool, like, if there was a way for these guys to come and watch the pitchers on the mound and stand next to them and you know, see what they see and, you know, see what they think about the hitter and what they're reading. You know, we read hitters the way they read the wind, the lie, the, you know.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, that's know? What I
that's
was going to.
That's what's cool.
That's what I was going to ask you about, the fact that if they could step into your shoes for a second or just, like, be a little person on your shoulder, like your conscience, I guess, at times. What you see, what the catcher, you and the catcher, the back and forth that you have with him is kind of like, okay, the yardage book and the caddy relationship and trying to get everything for a golfer, right?
Yeah, trying to find the wind and all that stuff. You know, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to watch them do what they do. And their short games are just so good. I mean, that's kind of – that's the huge separation that, you know, you kind of look and you see and it's like – you know, you get these guys inside, you know, 50 yards. It's a whole different ball game. I mean, you know, you go from being, you know, like 6 shots worse than them to being 20 shots worse than them when you get in that range. And pretty cool to see these guys even, and they've been playing for 30, 40 years now, and to see them still trying to improve and get better, it's pretty cool to see.
Multiple Cy Youngs, World Series champion. What do you miss about the game, if anything?
Just the guys. You know, I was ready to retire, and then I played for 3 more years. So it was like, you know, it was time to go. And I miss the guys. Just that's what I miss. The competition and all that, you know, I don't really miss that a whole lot anymore. But, you know, I wasn't fast enough to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And couldn't pitch at the level that I would like to pitch at. I did do a little coaching after that and enjoyed that, but also enjoy being retired and being able to travel and watch the kids grow up and all that stuff, and it's been pretty good.
So you miss, like, the locker room conversations before or after a game, the plane rides, all that?
Yeah. Poker games on the plane were always a lot of fun. You know, that's something you miss. You know, you don't miss the 8 months and only having 15 off days. You don't miss that one bit. You know, every day is an off day now, so it's pretty cool. And, yeah. But, you know, you miss the guys in the game and all that a lot. But you don't really miss competing.
Favorite ballpark?
Well, I mean, they're all really good. It's like trying to pick a favorite course, you know.
That's coming.
You know, Wrigley's really special. You know, I love playing on the West Coast. I love playing in San Diego. It's always fun going there. San Francisco was a great place to pitch. I mean, that would be like, you know, if every golfer has a course, they seem to play better than all the other ones. You know, San Francisco, that was, I love the mound. I love the grass. I like, it was a little damp and chilly usually when you went there. And you never got tired pitching there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could throw an extra 30 pitches if you had to in that ballpark, it seemed like. And but most of the parks are all, they're big league parks. They're all pretty cool. And but Wrigley stands out.
When you think back at your number retired at two organizations, does that mean anything?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool when you go back and, you know, you're
31's yeah, flying.
You know, you see a flag out there. You see a you know, a big banner out there. It's pretty cool. And, yeah, it means something. It's cool.
What were your thoughts in 16 when the Cubs broke the streak, won a World Series?
Very happy for the fans. I mean, the fans there waited so long for the Cubs to win, and you felt it. They were in, you know, we came close a couple times I was there, and you actually, when we lost, you actually felt bad for the fans. I mean, you could hear people crying in the stands. It was like, ooh, man, I wish we could have done better. you think you want to win as a player, and then, you know, to go and experience that, and I mean, we screwed 1 year up, I think last day of the season, and you could, the stands were dead quiet, and you literally heard, like, tons of people crying, and it was, it was tough to take.
Best golf course you've ever played?
That's a tough one. I mean, obviously, Pine Valley is really high. Shadow Creek, I mean, to me, it's a special place. Love Pebble. Crap, what's the place in Pittsburgh?
Oakmont.
Love Oakmont. I mean, there's so many good ones. Wingfoot, New York, there's like 10 of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go on and
Bethpage on. Bethpage Black, you ever played it?
We didn't play that one. That's Smoltz's fault because he had a rule. We can't play public courses because we have to play in under 4 hours because we got to go to the park. Bethpage was like a five and a half hour round, so we never got that one.
Blame him.
We never got that one. But Torrey Pines, you know.
San Diego.
Love Torrey Pines.
Fantasy foursome. You and three others, living or deceased, that you would like to play a round of golf with?
I mean, obviously, you can take the chicken way out, and I'd say my dad, my brother, and my son. You know, we've actually had a couple rounds together over Thanksgiving a few years ago. That's always a special one for me. You know, obviously, Tiger, Arnie would be cool. Jack Nicklaus, I mean, probably go that route. I mean, just if it wasn't a family, mm-hmm. you know, I'd probably go that route right there.
When you were in the clubhouse, did you hear the story between Tiger and Smoltz and the meal money?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that one.
Well, he lost to him one time, so he gave him an envelope, and then Smoltz beat Tiger a week later, and Tiger ended up giving him the same envelope that hadn't been opened.
I got to ask Johnny about that one.
You have to. Greg, thanks so much for your time.
All right. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Good
times.
Thank you. All right.
My thanks to Greg Maddux for taking some time out of his schedule and sitting down so that I could bring you that interview. Blackman Auctions. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Go to their website, blackmanauctions.com. There you will find their full lineup of upcoming auctions. Find one that you might want to attend and go see how Blackman Auctions operates. I think you will be impressed. Blackman Auctions. Find them on the web, blackmanauctions.com. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. We're back after this.
With all the decisions you need to make about what to do in El Dorado, finding a place to stay is an easy one. The Haywood is uniquely positioned to make your stay one to treasure. Located in the historic Union Square district of El Dorado, the Haywood offers luxurious accommodations that feature contemporary, colorful rooms with high-quality bedding, comfortable baths with walk-in showers, and a spacious workspace with stylish plantation shutters that are unique additions to the stunning decor and a non-smoking environment. Make the Haywood your home away from home the next time you visit El Dorado.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. When you call Blackman Auctions to sell your assets, you begin a multi-point plan to get the highest value possible. Each auction takes 30 to 45 days of planning and strategic marketing for your real estate, your equipment, and your assets. You've worked hard for your property, and it deserves more than a sign in the yard or a post on the internet. Sometimes marketing is more than just a commercial with a great-sounding spokesman. Call me. Let me come up with a plan to tell your story and turn your assets into money. Since 1938, Better Auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. On the tee with our rules segment, here's PGA Master Professional Adam Carney.
Adam, this question comes in from Robert. He says, if you find a dead snake next to your ball, are you allowed to move it? And then, boy, I don't know about this one. What if it is a live one? Can you move it as well?
I'd be moving with a sand wedge to the back of the neck, frankly. So, you know, it kind of harkens back to the toughest rules question in golf.
And this is one of them.
No, this is a hypothetical. I promise you this has never happened, but we kind of always tell it as a joke. If you hit a shot and your ball is in the air and it strikes a goose flying and it hits the goose and the goose falls straight to the ground and you get up there and the ball is embedded into the goose, what's the ruling? And the question would have to, according to the rules, have to revolve around is the goose alive or dead? Yeah, because if it's alive, it's an outside agency. If it's dead, it's a loose impediment.
You're not going to be able to remove loose impediment without moving the golf ball.
That's
then.
Correct. Anyway, this is a similar situation, well covered by the rules of golf. I think on a day-in, day-out basis, most people can't identify a snake as whether it's venomous or not venomous. So I would tell you that a live snake, is going to be a dangerous situation. So that would be, you know, if we're playing down on the coast, we'd be talking about alligators. We could be talking about fire ants and other places where there are dangerous situations that, you know, could be unhealthy to the player if he chose to play. And under those circumstances, the player is going to be granted, you know, reasonable relief to get away from that situation. The dead snake is just like a dead goose. It's a loose impediment, and he would be entitled to remove a dead snake, no question about it. I remember playing, I think it was a college event in Florida. My ball came to rest right up next to a coiled snake, and it was really maybe
alive or dead.
It was alive. It was maybe 5 yards off the fairway. And at that time, I know a little bit about snakes now because personally, I'm not a snake killer, honestly. I we've got a black snake in our backyard that he's my buddy because he keeps rodents away from my house. My wife wants him dead and I want him alive. Copperheads up at my son's farm, they don't hang around very long. Rattlesnakes don't hang around very long. But yeah, I mean, in that situation, you know, if you can't, I couldn't identify at that time if that was a venomous. I was in Florida. I knew they had a lot of venomous snakes. So
right.
Yeah, the committee granted me relief to get away from, you know, you can try and move the snake, but, you know, most cases, if it's a live snake, they're not going to take off. They're going to coil up and,
yeah,
you know, just kind of stay there and stand their ground once they feel threatened. So you're going to get relief from the snake.
Let's say that the snake is live. They are going to, the committee does give you relief because of the dangerous situation, but you cannot retrieve that golf ball. Are you entitled to drop another golf ball?
Excellent question, yes. That's an opportunity where you can substitute a ball. We're not going to say you have to put your life at risk
to get that ball.
To get that golf ball. I'm not that afraid of snakes personally, so I'd probably get my golf ball even if it was a venomous snake. That's the way I am, but
you don't mind a trip to the ER and have to get.
I've got a 45-inch club in my bag that can retrieve that golf ball, and I'm pretty sure I can stay outside its striking distance with that club. So,
yeah. Robert, thanks for the question. If you've got one, send us an email fromtheshortgrass@gmail.com.
That's it for this edition of From the Short Grass. Again, I want to thank Greg Maddux for taking time out of his schedule and sitting down with me so that I could bring you a little bit more about the Major League Baseball Hall of Famer and his love of the game of golf. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. It will help the greens out tremendously, and you'll enjoy the game that much more. And I hope to see you soon from the Short Grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.